Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
That was a good breath. Did you like that breath, Ben?
Everybody let it breathe there. Sims
is counting his record
right
or something.
I was not even focused.
What are you counting?
I was just counting my picks from last week.
How'd you do?
I was 13-3.
Damn. Not bad.
But man,
it's all right.
It's good, but it's like every week. Because my gambling show with Lefko, yeah. I was pitiful. The three games I lost were the three games I put the most money on.
Oh, there you go. Well, that's what you get.
Or they didn't come close to covering the spread, whatever
it was.
That's
why they call it gambling.
Yeah.
Man, good to see you guys.
See you.
Before we get into everything, I want to talk about Monday night because we don't get a chance to really break that down.
Oh, right.
Game went exactly how I thought it would go. Atlanta blowing a lead late to Tampa Bay. What did you think of the whole John Gruden Ring of Honor?
I thought it was cool. I thought it was a great speech, first of all. I really did.
The fucking man.
He's perfect for that. He's such a character.
I thought he was going to accept the Tampa Bay coaching job right then.
Well, I mean...
Hey. To the thousands of Tampa Bay fans and the millions, I love you. And
if you
I'm back.
Make me bet, I would bet. If you said, okay, Chris Sims, you got to put money on John Gruden coming back to coach the Bucks or not, I would put the money on him coming back.
After Sims talks about how bad he's been doing betting. But yeah.
Oh, you would bet. That's really funny. Yeah. I would say this to your point.
Right.
You said this a few weeks ago. The fact that we're not hearing about it as much, because usually it's, is it going to happen? Is it going to happen? Wow, that would be unbelievable.
The fact that it's gone quiet makes me believe it more. Exactly.
I also
right.
felt like every time he talked about a player, it was like he was doing an internal scouting report. He was like, I'll tell you what, this cornerback that got him from Atlanta, I like what he's doing. And I was like, he's going to keep that guy.
Yes. I think it makes a lot of sense, man. I really do. Hey, he's a hell of a coach. There's no doubt about that. I mean, he was a pain in the ass to me, certainly. Man, but I learned
that too.
I learned a lot of football from him, and I just think it's the match made in heaven. He's from Tampa. He grew up there.
Yeah.
He's truly a Buccaneers fan. Mm. His dad, you know, coached for it, like you heard in the speech.
Right.
He coached for the Bucks. He still lives there. I mean, he's really emotionally invested, and he's the biggest figure in the history of their franchise. They love him down there.
Yeah.
So I just think it makes a lot of sense.
And they have their quarterback.
They do. They have their quarterback.
And best game of the year for
right.
Jameis.
Yeah, and everything you've heard is that John really likes Jameis, and I think those rumors are true.
The reason that I think quarterbacks love Jameis, or coaches love Jameis, is they go, well, I'll be the one that gets him to be smarter.
Right.
And because if he is smarter, he'll be a lot better.
Yes.
I was so upset that ESPN cut out when he was diagramming
the play. Yeah.
One, how was the play not Spider 2-Y Banana?
Well, they ran it in, right? Is that what the first
touchdown? Yeah, it was the Mike Allstott
run. It was off the middle, right.
I like to call a play that I love and I want to show you. And I was like,
that was pretty good.
Is there anything more Gruden than in front of 70,000 people going, I'm going to use these Super Bowl champions as dolls and show you an X's and O's? Like, it was such a Gruden thing.
Is Lefko's Gruden any good? I'm trying to decide whether it's good or
I thought that one line was good.
It's just yelling.
Yeah.
But then, like, I don't know what other accent comes
out. That's how he is in meetings. He was like that in meetings.
Oh, yeah. It's a little macho, man.
Yeah.
We were just talking about this. I'm just going to start telling fans what we're thinking. We want to do now, I like this idea, a quarterback room podcast.
Right.
You, Greasy, Brad Johnson. Because seeing Brad Johnson, like, on the camera, it's like, this dude's funny as hell.
And we had Jason Garrett in the room at one point.
If we could do that.
All four of us together. And that's the famous story, right? So,
what do you mean the famous story?
Well, I've told this story before, right? When we've
on
got
on the podcast?
I'm pretty sure.
I don't think so.
Okay. Well, I've told you the story. I've told you the story about us getting on the bus, right?
To the golf outing?
Right.
Oh, yeah. You did tell that.
Yeah. So, I mean, Jason Garrett, all of us were a part of that. So we got on a bus at 10 in the morning. Gruden thought he had
a big golf course.
At charity, like one of the best golf courses in Florida. Well, he bid on the wrong course. It was like some real average course in the middle of nowhere, okay? And he's cussing at the bus driver going, "You're going the wrong way." And
give me Gruden talking to the bus driver, Lefko?
Which way are you going?
Yeah, it really is. I think you got it, actually. Him and Bruce Allen were literally doing that to the bus driver. And we're in the back. We're on a...
And you're just beers deep.
Beers deep. I mean, and we have a keg and stuff on the bus we're on.
Just QBs. Garrett's drinking a Mai Tai.
Yeah, no, we're all drinking beers. And Doug Williams is on this trip with us. Bruce Allen, Gruden, Ed Drosky. You know who Ed Drosky is? That's how Gruden used to say it. My man, he's the president of Hooters. That's why you see Gruden on the Hooters commercials, right? So he's with us, and every year, my man Ed Drosky would give me a credit card to Hooters, and I got free Hooters if I wanted it. but we're on that trip, and I'm not jelly. Brad Johnson, he might get mad if I say this, but he could drink like a fish.
Yeah,
You said he had 30 beers before you get off the bus.
I mean, 30. I'm not even freaking kidding. That night, after we bus... golf disaster, then going to Hooters, we go to a bar and we're playing pool. And I mean, I had stretches of where I would play pool consistently and I could be kind of good at it.
Everyone thinks they're really good at
pool. And this was like at an age where I actually was pretty good because like I was pretty good at going to the bar and hanging out with the guys. And I'd be like, oh, let's play some pool. What else am I going to do? I can't look at girls.
Yeah, I assume you were gambling.
I can't
too.
Look at girls the whole time.
Right. Obviously.
And we played and I hit a few shots, and it was me and Greasy versus Jason Garrett and Brad. And I hit a few shots to run the table and knocked it in, and I looked at Brad, and I was like, "Hey, Brad, you rack them, I'll crack them." And I was like, "I'm a second-year nobody." And he looked at me like, "You little fight." He wanted to fight me right there.
I want to shout out to all the people that Instagram DM'd us. I went through this weekend and responded to all the ones that I thought I could respond to. Yeah. But I have 11 here that I didn't respond to because it needs you too. So I'm gonna ask you a random number throughout the show, and we'll get to that. Speaking of numbers, though, I need your 45s.
I got no 45s.
Oh.
I'm Rutgersed out.
And here is Sims being surprised that I'm asking for something
every episode.
For, I don't know,
doesn't
four
matter.
Years.
Feels good.
You guys see Rutgers Seton Hall on Saturday?
Did not.
Michael Jordan?
That is definitely one of them.
Good job, Gabe. Gabe gave you that. Rod Smith, the running back for the Cowboys
yes,
right now.
Correct.
Who's the DB in the Seahawks that was up for the Hall of Fame last year? I'm blanking on his name.
He got in.
I know. I can't think of his freaking name right
we'll
now.
We'll get to him when
we
all
get right,
to
doesn't
him.
Count. Okay. And then let me think if there's just some other 45s. Go ahead and start naming names.
Sure. Currently, the Jewish fullback, Jay Prosh.
Whoa.
Roosevelt Nix. Just caught a touchdown for the Steelers.
Yeah.
Deion Jones,
damn,
linebacker for the Falcons.
See, those are the ones I
get. I thought you were going to get that. Yeah. Mike Hull, linebacker for Miami. And David Harris. Remember, that was a big signing for the Patriots, and yet we don't see him anymore.
He's in there.
Is he?
He does. He was in there a lot the other day. I know. It's so funny to see him in 45, actually. When
all-time name team.
Right.
Speedy Duncan, kick returner for San Diego and Washington in the 60s and 70s, four-time Pro Bowler. A New York Giants wide receiver in the 60s, Homer Jones.
Oh, no of him, but I wouldn't have guessed he's
45. Who could forget his 1967 campaign where he made the Pro Bowl with 49 catches?
Whoa.
Yeah, but 1,209 yards.
Holy shit. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, 49 catches, 1,209 yards, and 13 touchdowns.
That's
bombs away. One out of every three catch was a touchdown, like a 50-yard
bomb. That's what I love about old school football.
They
sling it. Good old Homer Jones.
Better college player than NFL player, but Archie Griffin.
Archie Griffin, two Heismans, yeah.
Back-to-back Heisman Trophy winners. What years?
77 and 78.
I believe it was 74 and 75.
Oh, it was. I think you're right. I do think you're right.
And then who could forget one of Chris Berman's best names, Chris Fuamatu Bad Maafala.
Right.
Damn. Chris Fuamatu Maafala was awesome. Some other ones that I really enjoy.
Yeah.
Ken Wisenhunt wore 45 when he was a tight end for the Falcons.
I didn't know that.
Speaking of Falcons, TJ motherfucking Duckett.
Oh.
TJ Duckett with Warwick Dunn and Mike Vick. And the fact that it was TJ Duckett and Mike Allstott in the same division Do you have any good TJ Duckett stories from that rivalry?
Gosh, TJ Duckett. I mean, TJ Duckett and I, if he's out there listening, me and him, we went to Ohio State and dominated Ohio State camp together 1 year, baby.
What, he was in high school?
High school, 7-on-7 team. They put you know, of course, I was the number one player in the country. TJ was one of the number one running backs, linebackers in the country. We went to Ohio State camp together, and you do a 7-on-7 tournament the last 2 days of the camp, and he was on my team. And we ended up in the finals against all the Ohio State committed players. They had their own
team.
Which
was which people at the time?
Craig Krenzel. What was the quarterback that won the national championship?
Astrophysicist.
Yes, right.
I love when they do that at the 7-on-7 camps.
You like that?
Yeah, the committed players together.
So the committed players against us, we won.
That's awesome.
Look at this picture of TJ Duckett.
Oh, yeah.
TJ Duckett to me, same thing.
Yeah.
Michigan State guy as well.
Right.
TJ Duckett to me is what I feel like Le'Veon Bell would be if he didn't lose 20 pounds.
Could be. Similar.
Like TJ Duckett weighed like 260. He was enormous.
He was a man.
But he had really good feet.
Great
jumping
feet.
Over people and
great
stuff.
Great feet.
Also, happy birthday to Tim Houck. Big time Eagle safety.
What up, Tim?
He was always my friend's hope that maybe one day us scrawny white guys will make it to the NFL. All time guys also, Otis Smith, wore 45, six time Pro Bowler Dave Grayson, 60s defensive back. Kenny Easley was the Hall of Fame safety for Seattle.
I should have got that too.
And then also the Hitman, safety for the Monsters of the Midway, Gary Fensick.
Yes.
Two-time Pro Bowler for the Bears. A lot of white guys in the NBA wear 45. Cole Aldrich, Rafe LaFrance, Rick Smits, Rudy Tomjanovich all rocked 45.
Damn.
Has there ever been a player whose name has fit the franchise more than Bo Outlaw on the Portland Trail Blazers?
He wore 45 too.
Wore 45. Huh? DeJuan Blair, Rasul Butler, AC Green, currently Denzel Valentine, Donovan Mitchell, and as you mentioned, coming back like 45. It ain't to play games with you, it's to aim at you, Michael Jordan.
Yeah.
MLB, Bob Gibson, Pedro Martinez.
Gosh.
All right.
Those are good ones.
We always bring up Kyle Shanahan. We went very hard on Jimmy Garoppolo on Monday, but I had a thought. The 49ers are playing Jacksonville this week. Kyle has had a lot of experience with this defensive scheme.
Yes.
Their defensive coordinator, Robert Saleh, was the linebackers coach for the Jaguars for 2014 to 2016. I can't talk. The way Jimmy Garoppolo's playing and their knowledge of this defense, is there any chance that Kyle can show the NFL a quick little blueprint of how to attack Jacksonville?
Well, okay.
It seems like a meaningless game, but could he show us something?
They could show you something. And like I just told you, I just had to pick my games, right? So that was one of the games that I sat there and was like, ooh, well, it was exactly what I said. First of all, Kyle's got a lot of experience against this scheme. I mean, he came from Atlanta, who runs the scheme. His own coach runs the scheme.
Right.
He plays Seattle twice a year. He played Seattle twice last year.
Yeah.
So here he is playing the scheme, and I do think he'll have some plays to draw up that are going to screw it. He certainly will. But
this will only make Jimmy Garoppolo even more of a legend.
If they pulled off this upset, it would be a legend. But this is my article that comes out tomorrow is basically, hey, the X's and O's are great, but the Jimmys and the Joes are greater in this one. And I do think that they can keep it close. I'll just let you know what I picked right away, just so you know. I know it's cheating for tomorrow. I picked Jacksonville to win 21-17, right?
Damn, that's probably covering the spread.
I don't even know what the spread is. Yes, but that's what I picked. I do think that they will be able to find some plays. The one thing I worry about, Jimmy Garoppolo has been under tremendous pressure in all three of his starts, and he's done a great job of avoiding it. But again, in a respectful manner, this is a different animal, and this is a different group of animals chasing after him. So that I get worried about. And, you know, the scheme. Can they fucking get open against AJ Bouye and Jalen Ramsey? That's the question. You know, that's the thing.
Jacksonville's
minus five. Damn, you're so good at predicting the lines.
Last week, but yes.
But Marquise Goodwin and Jalen Ramsey, we're going to see if he can get on that horse and run, which we know he can.
Yes.
One quick note we got from one of the Instagram followers, thank you, was that we talked about former players reffing, and you talked about how you went to ref. Remember the Eagles linebacker William Thomas?
Yes.
Apparently he's reffing in the Big Ten right now and has aspirations of making it to the league.
Cool.
So he could be a guy that actually does that. This guy DM'd us and said, yeah, Willie T is up to Big Ten already.
I think there's something there. I'm just going to say that. I do. I think, you know, my point was always this, what, Lefko, right? That those
the
type of guys,
of the game.
Right, they're not going to be like enamored. Like, you know, I think the refs sometimes are like, whoa, look at Adrian Peterson running by me. He's a Hall of, oh, wait, there was 9 holds? I missed the holding calls. I was watching Adrian Peterson. You're not going to get that with ex-players. They're not going to be enamored or caught off guard by the size and speed
of the
game.
I hope that's not the case that they're doing that. We got a few in their primes. I'll go for two here. MD Hill, 453. This is a Jet-centric one.
Okay.
Kevin Mawai or Nick Mangold? Who is the better Jet center in their prime?
Damn, I played with Mawai. I love Mangold. Schmangold is what we call him in
Mangold
our house.
Mangold was like our first guest.
Yeah, he was.
When we went to video.
Him and Larry the,
and
cable,
Larry the
guy.
Cable guy.
Kevin Mawai. I'm sorry. It's close. It is close. Kevin Mawai is one of the best centers. I mean, he was the best center I was ever around.
Yeah.
He was one of the best O-linemen I was ever around. I mean, he was top notch. In the year I was there, in, you know, the two
Tennessee.
Years I was with Tennessee, right? And CJK, he didn't rush for 2,000 yards the year I was there, but had a lot of big years the 2 years I was there. And a lot of what happened there. I mean, Mawai was like one of those guys who could, Vince or Kerry didn't even have to, like, you know how Brady goes like, Mike 52.
52's the mic, yeah.
Mawai just handled all of it. He was amazing. And then there were smart offensive linemen around him. So they would literally just be like, don't worry, just drop back. We got you protected.
Kevin
okay?
Mawai at the end of his career was not called Kevin Mawai. He was called future Hall of Famer Kevin Mawai.
Yeah,
like,
he
that's
deserves
what everyone
to be in.
Said. I agree.
Yes.
Another one, Dylan Hayling, in their prime. Eric Dickerson or Earl Campbell?
You
have a very special place in your heart for Earl.
I do. I think Earl is, you know, one of the 5 greatest running backs ever.
So that means you would take Earl. Because
I don't
think you have Dickerson in your top 5.
I don't. There are different styles of runners. And I grew up, of course, watching my dad's team have to stop Eric Dickerson and do that. The Giants actually beat them the year in the wild card game in Los Angeles the year Dickerson ran for 2,000 yards. Dickerson was special, though, in the fact that, I mean, he's a modern-day Derrick Henry, right? Except he was probably more explosive to where we were like, damn, how – this guy's tall, running at running back, and break tackles, but if you gave him a seam, he outran everybody except for Darryl Green. But, yeah, I would go Earl. Earl was special.
Dylan also asked, all right, is he attractive or not, Jadeveon Clowney?
Handsome guy. I'll answer that.
I actually
love his hair.
I actually think he is a handsome guy. I mean, I'm not saying he's like GQ Man of the Year, but I don't look at him as ugly. I think he's a handsome guy.
I think so, too.
Yeah, I do. I mean, I think if you looked at just his face, Joel, we've said cruder things about Jadeveon, too.
Yes.
Yes.
All right, so I have 1 through 11 random Instagram questions. Pick a number.
1 through 11.
1 through 11, and I'm going to ask
the correspondent.
Number
2.
Of course you asked number 2.
Obviously.
I knew it. TJ Gagliardi, he was the guy on the train.
I was going to say, who is this?
TJ Gagliardi.
He's the guy that came over and took the picture with
you. He was the guy that came over and took the picture with you.
Right. On the Metro North?
On the Metro North.
He now works with the NFL Network, and he passes Big Phil in the hallways all the time, and he's going to muster up the courage to bring it up sometime
soon. I think he brought it up yesterday, but keep going.
That's awesome.
I do.
He says that we need to give more love to Rod Simba for the intro music.
Yeah.
And Rod Simba, you are the fucking man. And
we love you very much.
He says, you and Sims, me and you are tight now.
Oh,
how did Sims and Lefko meet? We actually talked about this
just recently.
Recently.
We met at a Bleacher Report. Was that the holiday or Super Bowl party, right?
Something like that.
It was the week before the Seahawks and Broncos were about to play.
Yes.
And I was trying to get my contract negotiated. I wasn't definitely coming here to work yet. I'm finding out now that my agent was making things very difficult.
Yes. So we were actually told in a meeting, people that were here working here before Sims got here, we're excited about this guy, Chris Sims, but just to let everyone know, he only wants to work 3 days a week. So, like, we don't know how much of a diva he is.
Damn.
And I remember at the time being like, listen, I'm the only diva in these parts. And I'm pretty sure when I met Sims for the first time, one of the first things I said was, so you're going to be a diva, huh? And only work 3 days a week.
And I probably
was like,
didn't even get
he was
it.
Like, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
How long did it take you to like Lefko?
I liked him from the start.
Right from the start?
Yeah, I did.
Just no.
I mean, I know there was limitations and things that I had to work through. I understood that. You know what I had to answer this week, actually? I'm glad we got to this conversation.
Good. Yeah, what's the question?
Because somehow, Friday or Saturday night, My wife had a few drinks in her, and Flirty came up again.
Ooh, are you serious?
A classic Three years later, story.
Fucking asshole, Adam
a
Lefko.
A classic Sims and Lefko story in two ex-girlfriends ago.
For you, not for me. For I'm still me, married.
Yeah. We were out to breakfast, and we were talking. I said, look, she goes, your wife was like, I don't know, Sims is like texting with women from work. And I was like, look, that's not who he is. He's just kind of like a flirty guy. And I was saying it to defend you.
I know,
and
whatever.
Now, 3 years later,
I'm still here.
Your wife is still bringing
it up. With all the sexual harassment things that are going on in the world now, my wife's like, are you sure you're not being flirty? That's how the whole thing went.
Man, you're never going to live that one down.
No, I'm not.
Yep. Brendan up there, what are you going to say?
That's what women do.
Yeah, it's very true.
They don't let those things down.
Let me get this in before we get to Big Phil, filling time in about 6 minutes. Brendan up there said, you know what? Remember you said you're doing the Pro Bowl. You're like, I'm going to be pissed. I'm leaving somebody off. He said, Sims left Clowney off. That's going to really grind his gears.
That is going to grind my gears.
Yeah, so Brendan up there, you're completely right.
Damn, sometimes I got to come better prepared for this show.
All right, so what I did was I have your list of the guys that you said would make the Pro Bowl, and I have the list of guys that actually made the Pro Bowl.
I don't even know who made the Pro Bowl.
Okay, well, I'll tell you if you got it right or not.
Okay.
You said quarterbacks. I only made you pick one. You said Brady and Wilson. They both got in. Running backs, you said Le'Veon Bell, Kareem Hunt, Gurley, Kamara. They all got in.
Okay.
Wide receivers, you said Antonio Brown, Tyreek Hill, DeAndre Hopkins, and the NFC, Thielen, Jones, and Tate. Tyreek Hill and Golden Tate did not get in.
Mm.
However, A.J. Green and Keenan Allen got in the AFC, okay. And in the NFC,
I would not have picked A.J. Green over Tyreek Hill, but okay.
This is why I'm doing it like this.
Yeah.
And then in the NFC, Michael Thomas and Larry Fitzgerald got in over Golden Tate, and you mentioned that you would have taken Tate over Michael Thomas.
Yes.
What about Larry?
I don't think Larry deserves to be in the Pro Bowl. I don't. I think Larry's still a really good football player. I think that's one of those things where people just see the names and the number by it, and they go, oh, he had a lot of catches and he had a good year. He's still really good. There's no denying that, but I'm just going to pull up some names just real quick just to make sure here. I would have took Marvin Jones over Larry Fitzgerald as well.
Gotcha. So now, there was an iTunes comment. This is from Blunt Force Trauma. These guys need one of those ads. Uninformed commentators hate them. Seriously, I'm constantly telling my wife how wrong TV commentators are because I listen to Sims and the Elliott FKOE.
Man.
Break down what's really going on. They are the truth. Question: Stafford, accuracy, sixth. Yards, third. Yards per attempt, seventh. TDs, fifth. Rating, sixth. Deep ball quarterback rating, first. He has no run game, and only Brissett has been sacked more. Does Stafford have an MVP case? He didn't make the Pro Bowl. Drew Brees got in over him. What do you think of that?
Well, I mean, it's, you know, again, it's a name and the record on the team, and they go, well, it's Drew Brees, and that's why I hate the Pro Bowl. It's why I don't think that, you know, sorry, for to our man's point, I just don't think, like, the fans and the media should be voting. I think it should stay within the players, and I don't mean that as a disrespectful thing. I just mean that, you know, players and coaches are the ones getting to see most of this for real without hearing to hear commentators.
Do the players know enough about what's going on in the league
for the most part?
It's always been our thing.
Yeah, I mean, for the most part, to a degree. But, yeah, there's going to be a handful of guys on every team that they're just there to play football. Yep. They don't go home and
they're
really
not
pay attention.
Highlights.
Right. You know, or they only know the teams that we've played, right? They're not, like you said, they know what we've seen on film and crossover film, but they don't know really what's going on with the rest of the league.
Tight ends, you nailed Gronk and Jimmy Graham.
Yep.
Notable offensive linemen that you said, DeCastro, Pouncey, and Lawan in the AFC, all of them got in.
Cool.
Zach Martin, Lane Johnson got in. Andrus Pete did not get in. Instead, Brandon Brooks and Brandon Scherff got in at guard.
Okay. I mean, Brooks deserves to be in. Did I leave him out of our conversation, too?
You didn't give us all five, so you're just saying names that
I
came
know,
to
I
your
should
mind.
Have put Brandon Brooks. He's another one because he's been phenomenal. Yes, I would have taken who the hell are we talking
Scherff.
About? Scherff. I would have taken who over Scherff? Who
Pete.
Yeah, Pete. Pete. I think Andrus Pete this year is arguably the best offensive lineman in football. That's how good I think he is. But it'll be another year because the public's going to have to hear his name a little bit more.
Defensive ends, you absolutely nailed the three that got in the NFC. Everson Griffin, DeMarcus Lawrence, and Cam Jordan. People were saying that Brandon Graham got snubbed, but I could see Cam Jordan over him. In the AFC, you said both Bosa and Ingram, but it was Bosa, Calais Campbell, and Khalil Mack.
Yeah.
And then the outside linebackers were Von Miller, Jadeveon Clowney, and Terrell Suggs. Defensive tackles, Cam Hayward did not make it. Malik Jackson did, and then you nailed the two in the NFC, Aaron Donald and Fletcher Cox. Instead of Cam Hayward, the defensive tackle for the AFC was Geno Atkins, Jarrell Casey, and Malik Jackson.
Yeah.
I didn't think Jarrell Casey or Geno Atkins deserved it over Cam Hayward.
I don't think so either. No, I think Cam Hayward has been other than Ryan Shazier on that defense, he's been the best player on one of the five best defenses in football all year. I think he should be in.
You got Shazier and Mosley. Telvin Smith did not make it to the Pro Bowl.
Right.
NFC, you went 0-4 in the linebackers. You said Ogletree, Deion Jones, and Eric Kendricks, but instead it was Chandler Jones, Ryan Kerrigan, and Anthony Barr with Luke Kuechly and Bobby Wagner.
Yeah, see, that's where... Okay, so they picked... Okay, all right. Well, yeah, they're names. You know, Bobby Wagner, he's really good. Don't get me wrong. Luke Kuechly's really good. They got the name power over those. Who did I pick for the inside
Ogletree,
linebackers?
Ogletree, Deion Jones, and Eric Kendricks.
Yeah, I would have picked them. I think those guys had better years than those two there. They're really good. Don't get me wrong. Also, the thing that drives me crazy about the outside linebacker conversation. Okay,
are they pass rushers or are they linebackers?
Well, Kerrigan, yeah. Kerrigan and
Kerrigan's
Chandler Jones
defensive
are defense ends.
They really are. Yeah. But that's what we always argue about is that flex.
Mm-hmm.
Cornerbacks, the four that you named, all made it. Bouye, Ramsey, Rhodes, and Lattimore.
Right.
You went 0-for on all of the safeties. In the AFC, you said McCourty, Gibson, and Jamal Adams, but instead it was Eric Weddle, Rashad Jones, and Micah Hyde.
Okay, say that again now.
You said Devin McCourty, Gibson, and Adams.
Yep.
It was Weddle, Rashad Jones, and Micah Hyde.
Man.
I think Micah Hyde gets in off interception numbers.
Definitely. And he had a good year. And Weddle's had a good year. No, those three are not as good as the three eyes, in my eyes. The way they affect the game on a play-to-play basis, certainly not.
I don't understand how Rashad Jones made the Pro Bowl.
I don't either.
Their defense stinks.
Yeah. It's been better lately.
The NFC, you picked Keanu Neal and Harrison Smith. Neither of them made the Pro Bowl. Instead, it was Earl Thomas, Landon Collins, and Malcolm Jenkins.
Man. I disagree with that totally. I mean, Earl Thomas has no business being in there. I mean, none. I mean, he's solid. He's good. I don't think he's in the same class as Landon Collins.
Did not have a good year.
Yeah, I just think that's
their whole
the way
defense
it.
Stunk.
I think Malcolm Jenkins is the second best safety on his own team. So I don't agree with any of that.
This
I really
means
don't.
This means Gabe that Landon Collins is going to be a Pro Bowler for the next 10 years.
Most likely, because he's in New York and he's awesome. He is one of the five or six best safeties in football. But he did not have a great year. And Keanu Neal, you know, again, I mean,
Has the most forced fumbles in the first two seasons in anybody in NFL history.
That's interesting.
With eight. And he had his third on Monday night against the Tampa Bay Bucks.
He is a better version than Cam Chancellor.
Wow.
Yeah.
Ever was?
He has more potential. Like Cam in his prime when he was in year three or four and he had played a little. Okay, maybe that's better than the Keanu Neal right now, but Keanu Neal's physical ability is better than Cam Chancellor's.
He destroys people.
He is amazing.
Nick, call up Big Phil. Let's hear that dial tone. I just want to get a quick comment here from Sleep Alt, best football podcast out there. He goes on to say, can we get some love for Rick Spielman? The Vikings have one of, if not the best rosters in football, and look at the guys who signed contracts this year and last year. Case Keenum, Adam Thielen, Harrison Smith, Andrew Sandejo, Xavier Rhodes, Mike Remmers, Riley Reiff, Latavius Murray, Linval Joseph, and Everson Griffin, and the Vikings still have the sixth most cap space going into next year.
Yes.
And we still make fun of him for that Sam Bradford trade.
Right.
But he was just trying to keep them going.
No, that was a great trade. Yeah. I mean,
Peter, what's going on?
Hey, what up there, big guy?
What's up?
But the guy.
Hey, man, I'm getting ready to do some work. So as soon as I get rid of you two clowns, I'll get back to work.
Oh, gee.
All right, well, Christopher, keep finishing your point about Rick Spielman.
Oh, I do. I mean, who was that? Who was our Instagrammer there?
It was an iTunes commenter named S.L. Epalt.
S.L. Epalt. But he's right. Rick Spielman is a guy that probably does not get enough talk about how high of a quality of a GM he is. Think about that football team. Right? I mean, it's been built perfectly through the draft and free agency. So
About Thielen and Diggs and the other guys they've
drafted. Sure. I mean, they've drafted Everson Griffin and Barr and Rhodes and Harrison Smith. So he's really knocked it out. And then this year to get people.
Daniel Hunter.
The offensive lineman he got this year in free agency.
The center that
he took. The center, Elfline from Ohio State is legit. So it's a very valid point, and he does. He gets overlooked too much. He will be, going forward, my executive of the year.
Ooh.
Oh, yeah. Good stuff. All never thought of it that way, but when you look at the roster, those number one picks, I remember when he took Harrison Smith from Notre Dame, I went, boy, I don't know about that.
Right.
Okay, well, that was wrong. And Xavier Rhodes, he struggled early in his career or whatever, but he's got the guy. And who's the guy? He's got Mike Zimmer.
Yeah, right.
And Mike Zimmer, he makes all pros. He fixes all corners. And I watched him down in Cincinnati. They'd always draft a cornerback or whatever. I think he finally got over the fact, Jonathan Joseph, right? That's who they lost to the Houston Texans.
Right, exactly.
He was heartbroken over that. But everybody he picks and works with at the cornerback position has really turned out to be a really good pro. So he knows what he's doing when it comes to coaching.
That really is awesome. All right, we are with the LeVar Ball of the NFL, Big Phil Sims.
I had a guy named, I don't know if I told Christopher or not. Was it yesterday?
Yes.
The days blend in together. I just know that.
It was yesterday. And this guy, I think, just chimed into the podcast saying he walks by you in the hallways when you're doing Showtime.
Oh, yeah, it's TJ.
TJ, I told you. He did it yesterday. I told you.
One of our big teams we played in high school was Thomas Jefferson, so I won't forget that.
Right.
And whatever. So he's a big fan of you two. I don't know why, but he says he does listen to the podcast. So
that's awesome.
Don't have across the bear. That's his. He has to listen to you two.
That's awesome.
So what's going on today? What are we doing? Let's see. I don't really have many issues with this one because let's think of Case Keenum.
Okay.
Okay.
Right.
Now, first off, I had a coach. Won't say who, when he did it, because I don't want to give the coach away, said he stinks. He has no business being in a camp or being in practice or being in the NFL.
Right.
And look where he is now.
Right.
So, out him, Phil. What's his name?
Lucky,
what's the coach's
not lucky.
Name?
Yeah, you have to be lucky to be Case Keenum and fight your way through the bureaucracy and everything of the NFL. And he's down there, I think, I don't even know, I didn't even look it up. Did he start with the Houston Texans, a free agent?
Yes.
And, whatever, gets a chance to play because somebody's hurt, moves around. He's, of course, plays in St. Louis. Then he's out in, when they move to L.A., plays for a bad offense, no talent, terrible system, fights his way through it, gets enough on film where you go, wow, this guy could be a decent backup.
Right.
And there he is. Now look what happens. But my point being, if they make it to the playoffs, which they are, if they lose...
Yes.
What's it going to say about him when they lose?
It's going to be all him. They're going to blame it on him.
Well, of course. There we go. There, you caught the whole thing, what I was trying to say. Blake Bortles falls in that category, even though he's really putting up terrific numbers, playing well. I'm actually going to do a video of him here as soon as I get off the phone with you two. But the same thing is going to be said about him. When they lose, listen, they're going to lose. He won't have a great game and see them lose. And it'll all be about Blake Bortles, and it'll be the same for Nick Foles, being the backup to Carson Wentz, who we all love, and everybody thinks the world of him, but somehow they'll pin it on Nick Foles.
Right.
Do you know what that's called, Big
that's
Phil?
That's the life of the NFL, but especially quarterbacks who the public is not behind, or however you want to say it.
Big Phil, it's
just
called...
Don't say, they're the man.
It's called Andy Dalton syndrome.
Yes, it is.
It's like you could do whatever you want.
It's worse than that because Andy Dalton at least was drafted by the Cincinnati Bengals, came in and got the start right away and had success right away.
Right.
And his success then became a detriment because, you got to validate it, Adam, with a playoff win.
Oh, yeah.
All
about prime time.
You.
Prime time.
Don't win
under the bright lights.
Validate who you are. Yeah. Well, see, I did a playoff game once in the Cincinnati Bengals against the Indianapolis Colts. And if I remember, Rex Burkhead was the slot receiver for the Cincinnati Bengals that day. They had no receivers, no chance to win. The Colts were actually really good then. But when the game was over, hey, talk about how Andy Dalton failed again. Can you do that? No, I can't.
Right.
Because it's not his fault. How about that?
Yeah.
So,
how about that?
That's the way it goes with that stuff.
All right. Pop culture question for Big Phil is...
Are we doing this again? I mean, I answered all the questions last week.
Oh, you were so good. We had to do it again.
What is a sturdy millirock?
Say it again.
What is a millirock, and what does it mean if the millirock is sturdy?
Is sturdy. Okay, this is pop culture.
Yes.
Well, first off, what's pop culture? What's that mean?
I mean, just whatever the hell is popular.
Okay. Oh, is that what it is?
You know,
I never even knew that. I thought it was just you had to be young and hip to know what pop meant. I have absolutely, if you gave me three answers to that or three choices, I know I would never get it right.
Is a sturdy millirock a new type of bicycle that is being ridden right now? Is a sturdy millirock a dance move? Is a sturdy millirock a new show on television? Which of the three is it, Big Phil?
It must be a dance move.
It is a dance move.
This guy is all over pop culture.
Wow.
There you go.
Are you on Snapchat?
Well, you know, when it comes to dancing, who do you want to go to? You go to me, man. I'm the king.
Well, yeah, we saw your workout video from the 80s.
He was dancing in Times Square before the season.
With a boombox.
Well, I think I've also told the guys the story about your dancing at Deirdre's wedding and what you did to that poor woman.
I don't know if you said that on the podcast.
Oh my gosh, you're right. Why'd you have to bring it up, son? She tripped and fell.
You broke a woman's wrist.
She got hurt. Well, you know, hey, if you're trying to stay up with me, it's tough.
That's amazing. So, Big Phil, are you going to be at the Super Bowl this year?
I will be.
Are you going to come and hang out with us on Radio Row and
do all
that stuff?
Well, he has no choice now. I mean, he's going to be there. He's got no choice.
Well, no, I'm only going to be there. I don't think I'm going to stay the whole week. I don't know what yet. We film Showtime on Monday nights at the Super Bowl, so we'll be over there in the Minnesota indoor. What's it called?
All right, like Tuesday or Wednesday. Let's have a nice little roundtable. Tuesday or Wednesday, let's get together.
Tuesday or Wednesday, that's a possibility. We could do that. Nothing else for you guys to ask me to gripe about?
I have something I want to ask him.
Chris has one, and this is it.
All right, we know.
Okay, let's go.
All right, and I don't want a huge explanation here. New England's the number one team in football. I'd like to hear who the rest of your top five would be. Who's number two and three?
Yeah, me and Sims did our top
like to hear
five
this
week.
You know, would you put Minnesota two?
Well, you know, you catch me off guard with these questions.
Well, that's the point
teams.
Of them.
Pull up the teams. Pull up the teams.
Before he came on. I would put Pittsburgh, too, yes.
You would put Pittsburgh,
too?
And then would you go Minnesota,
and
three?
And then,
Minnesota, Rams, Jacksonville,
Rams,
Philadelphia, New Orleans.
Rams.
You'd go
Rams. I'd take the Rams. I definitely would put New Orleans in my top five, too. But, man, we're going to know a lot here in the next 2 weeks. But, yes.
So,
the Rams,
right.
You and I talk about it. Every time I watch him, I watched the game the other day. It's great to be a quarterback for the Rams. And didn't get hit, didn't have to really make any plays, and they just go to a blowout victory over the Seattle Seahawks. That tells you, and you know, you are a really good team when you can do something like that.
All right, so cool. So you went New England, Pittsburgh, Rams, Minnesota, New Orleans. That would be your top five?
Yeah, let me rephrase that. Let me put Minnesota ahead of the Rams.
Okay, so you would. Okay, I would too. It's close, though, but yes, I got you.
You caught me off guard. I wasn't ready,
so I'm
just trying to do it on the fly.
Yeah, well, good. That's why I asked you.
That was good.
Okay,
it was a good audible.
Good stuff. All right. Well, that was pretty average by you guys today. So I hope next week you can pick it up a little and let's, you know, get into something better. But
hey, thanks for carrying the show, man.
What?
We rely on you.
Thanks
hits.
For carrying the show. Thank you. You're the man.
All right, guys. Y'all have a great day.
Hey. Right, yep. Merry Christmas. Gabe says. All right. He hung up.
Next week, I think the question. You should ask Phil if he's playing Trivia HQ.
Ooh,
I would like to know
what
if he knows
HQ trivia.
Yeah,
I bet you Chris doesn't even know what that
probably
is.
Probably not. I feel like his kids might be doing it.
I don't think so.
Maybe not.
Trivia HQ, high quality trivia.
It's a trivia game that's sweeping the nation, Sims.
Woo! Yeah.
All right, let's do a quick little an Instagram one. 1 through 11. But
can't
you've already
pick
guessed two.
Well, we're going to 11.
Going to 11.
Staying with the Sims
family.
This
is from baby_Jesus14.
What up, baby Jesus?
Was Cadillac Williams a freak to play with?
He was. Cadillac Williams was, gosh, if he doesn't tear his patella tendon, yes, I do think he was going to be one of the generation's better running backs. I do. Cadillac had it all. He could run between the tackles with power. He can make people miss in space. You know, he couldn't run for 80-yard touchdowns, but could run for 50-yard gains. And then he could catch the ball and block. And he was a really all-around good football player. And, man, I think about Cadillac sometimes, some of the collisions when I gave him the ball, and I wouldn't carry out my fake a lot of the times because I was like, damn, I want to watch the run. So fuck your fake, John Gruden. And he would yell at me all the time.
Is something you thought about?
Could you run carry out your fake? What I was like,
So you mean like the hand it off and fake roll out like you're going to throw
it? Yeah, like
it.
A boot, so maybe you want to keep the backside guy complacent or whatever it may be. And it's certain big plays or a big run, I'd be like, yeah, fuck the boot. Like, I want to watch Cadillac.
Actually a thought in your head on the football field.
Yes, definitely.
You would see a hole and go, this could be big.
And I got so good at it, too, where they would actually, the running backs would come back at me and be like, you think I picked the right hole there? I kind of, and they would like, literally, and they would get up from plays and I'd be like, oh, Cadillac, you missed it. The hole was to the right.
Your
man.
Right eye dominant.
Yeah, your hole was to the right. But getting back to the point, Cadillac was a player. Yes, he was a player.
I could see you getting excited.
He really was. One of my favorite teammates ever. And I still remember remember Dan Morgan, the middle linebacker for the Carolina Panthers?
The original Luke Kuechly.
Right, really. And then he got to end up leaving football because of concussions. And yeah. I can remember one of the last collisions was with Cadillac Williams. And I mean, I gave him the ball, Lefko, and he went up the middle in Carolina. It was a huge division game for us. And man, they hit. And I just remember thinking, like, holy shit. My neck would have broken seven different spots right there. And Cadillac hit Dan Morgan, and Dan Morgan's head went back, and he bounced off the tackle and kept running. And I was just like, damn.
So I did the research. We did it last year where I went through and I looked up the statistics that I thought were important for a playoff run. Those being time of possession.
Yep.
How is your offense in the red zone? How is your defense in the red zone? How often do you sack the quarterback when they throw it? And how often do you get sacked when you throw it? And then turnover margin.
Okay.
I went back and looked. In week 14 of last year, if you remember, there were three teams that were not in the playoff race at that time that actually had better scores than everybody else.
I remember us.
And those three teams were Pittsburgh, New Orleans, and Philadelphia.
That's hilarious.
Little indicative.
Here we are.
So it shows you where they were so close last year in a lot of ways.
But something just happened that wasn't there. So I have like 16 teams, the teams that are still eligible to make the playoffs. We're going to play a little guessing game with Josh and Sims. Josh, of course, most guessing games with Sims, he beat him.
I usually win these.
This is what
happens. Pull up the teams.
I got the teams.
Okay.
I want my own teams.
We're going to start off with time of possession. Of all the teams that are eligible in the playoffs in the AFC, which one is best at time of possession?
The Jacksonville Jaguars.
Fendrick, what is your guess?
I will go the Pittsburgh Steelers.
It is the Jacksonville Jaguars. One
nothing. All right. It's early.
Who has the best time of possession in the NFC?
I will go with the Minnesota Vikings.
I will go with the Philadelphia Eagles.
2-0, Chris Sims.
Damn.
Philadelphia Eagles.
You've improved a lot since last year. I'm proud of you.
The Philadelphia Eagles are the number one time of possession team in the NFL. Yeah. Last year, the two teams that were top in time of possession,
Cowboys.
Oakland and Dallas.
Yeah.
There are six teams in the top 10 for time of possessions in the playoffs. Pittsburgh, Jacksonville, Philly, Minnesota, New Orleans, and Carolina.
Run games and quarterbacks who can convert third downs.
The worst time of possession in the AFC that's still eligible is Buffalo, their 30th.
Yeah.
And the worst in the NFC is Seattle at 21st.
That makes sense. We've talked about the Seattle all year, right? I mean, Seattle's it's three plays and a touchdown, or it's three plays and out.
Exactly.
Are you giving us the teams that are high in these rankings but not in the playoff race like you did last year?
No, because this year it's like I only have the 16 teams that are eligible. Last year I did like 12.
You did
12.
All 32, yeah.
Right.
Red zone offense. Mm. Who has the best red zone offense percentage in the AFC?
New England.
Yeah. I mean, I got to go New England.
New England is 10th. The best in the AFC is actually Jacksonville at 5th.
Mm.
Who has the best red zone offense in the NFC?
LA. Rams.
I'm going to still go with the Eagles.
The Eagles are the number one red zone offense in the NFL. The Rams are actually 20th.
I would think the Saints are up there.
The Saints are 8th.
Right.
And Dallas is 4th.
Yeah.
But the worst in the AFC in the red zone is Kansas City. They're 28th. The worst in the NFC is Seattle.
Yeah.
22nd.
There you go. There's no red zone offense. They rely on the big play, right? It's Tyreek Hill for 70 yards or Kareem Hunt for 50 for a touchdown. It's never like an 8-yard completion by Alex Smith.
Philadelphia is scoring in the red zone 67% of the time. Arizona is worst in the NFL at 38%. That's probably the reason they're doing so bad this year. Sacks per pass attempt offense. So this is who protects their quarterback, which quarterback is getting sacked the least percentage amount of time out of all the teams eligible still in the AFC.
Pittsburgh.
Chargers.
The Chargers are the number one team at protecting the quarterback in the NFL.
I think you've been watching more football than me this year.
We have a 4-0.
Did you really beat me last year on this?
I did, yeah.
Did you really?
I think I whooped you pretty bad.
Damn, that's
Pittsburgh is, though, third in the NFL.
All right, so I was all right there.
Yeah, you're a good one.
Who is the best in the NFC at protecting the quarterback?
The best in the NFC.
The least amount of sacks per pass attempt in the NFC.
Minnesota.
I'm going to go... I think it's going to be the Saints or the Rams, and I'm going
to
go with the Saints.
The Saints are the second-best team in the NFL at protecting the quarterback. What did you pick, the Vikings?
I said Minnesota.
The Vikings are sixth in the NFL.
Right. Still pretty good.
In terms of protecting the quarterback, eight teams are in the top 10 in terms of protecting the quarterback.
Right.
So if you protect the quarterback,
yep,
you're going to be in there.
Or if your quarterback's athletic enough to get out of trouble, too.
Yes.
Those are the things you have to look
Unless
at.
Unless you're right. Buffalo, they're 28th or the worst in the AFC. The worst in the NFC still eligible is Detroit at 25th.
And that makes sense.
Matt Stafford is getting sacked
everybody,
a lot.
Well, everybody knows they're going to throw. Nobody gives a shit about their run game.
Now, in terms of those three categories, time of possession, red zone offense, and protecting the quarterback, Jacksonville and New Orleans are the only teams in the top 10 in all three categories. Very interesting.
Jacksonville's scary, man.
Red zone defense. Which defense is the best in the AFC in terms of stopping the opponent in the AFC? Red zone
defense. Just in the red zone.
Just in the red zone.
Gosh. Okay. I mean, it's between Jacksonville and Pittsburgh. I know Jacksonville has the better points.
Fendrick, you will guess first.
I am going to go Jacksonville.
What is your guess?
I think it's Pittsburgh for red zone defense.
Jacksonville is the number one team in the NFL for red zone defense. Pittsburgh actually has the worst red zone defense of all the AFC playoff contenders at 26th in the NFL.
Damn.
The best in
the
NFC. The best in the NFC is Minnesota. The worst red zone defense left in the NFC is Detroit at 28th.
All right, so to our commenter about Matt Stafford, I mean, are these points not like just illustrating what he was trying to say?
They can't protect him, and they can't stop a defense.
They can't stay on the field with time of possession. It's literally, Matt Stafford, bail us out with your amazing right arm.
Now,
I'm mad I went with Pittsburgh. I went with Pittsburgh just to be different. I thought Jacksonville was too obvious.
You did. Sacks per pass attempt. Which team leads in the AFC for when the opponents drop back to pass, they sack?
Jacksonville.
Josh.
Well, I wasn't paying attention at all.
Oh, thanks. So we're only doing a show.
I'll go Kansas City. What was the question? I didn't even hear the
Jacksonville
question.
Is the number one team. Jacksonville.
What was the question?
Sacks per attempt.
Oh,
like
definitely Jacksonville. Sorry, that was
Jacksonville sacks the opposing quarterback 11.1% of the time that
Scary.
Their opponent throws.
Scary.
One out of every 10 times they drop back, they sack them. The worst in the NFL is Tampa Bay at 3.6.
I could agree.
The best team in the NFC is the Rams. They're second. And the worst is also the Lions. They're 24th.
Holy shit, the Lions.
The Lions are so
bad. The Lions should be 4-10.
They really should.
Yeah.
Jacksonville, Tennessee, Baltimore, and the Chargers are the only teams in the top 10 in both red zone defense and defensive sacks. No NFC team is in the top 10 in both of those categories.
So wait, say those teams again, though, just so I can hear them one more time.
Jacksonville,
right.
Baltimore,
right.
Tennessee,
right.
And the Chargers are top 10 in sacking the quarterback and red zone defense.
Huh.
But no NFC teams.
Yeah.
Minnesota is 4th in red zone defense, but 14th in sacks per pass attempt. Turnovers.
Yeah.
There are 11 teams that are in the top 10 for turnovers. Who's the number one turnover team in the NFL? Turnover margin.
The Jacksonville Jaguars.
They are second.
Damn, I know there's another one I'm missing that's obvious.
Jacksonville's margin is plus 15.
Philadelphia?
Philadelphia is plus 9. The number one is Baltimore from earlier this year at plus 17.
Right.
The worst margins are Atlanta at minus 4 in the NFC and Tennessee at minus 7 in the AFC.
So Baltimore's leading
is in turnover margin.
In turnover margin.
Yes.
Okay.
I
didn't think that. Okay.
All right. So here's what I did. I went through, and like I did last year, I added up. So it's like golf. The lower your number, the better, because we're going based off of rankings. Last year, Pittsburgh was like number one in the 48 range. It was like the late 40s, early 50s. This year, what do you know? If you include the takeaway rankings like I did last year, Minnesota and New Orleans are at 55, Baltimore is 57, Chargers are at 61, New England, just like last year, at this point of the year was 68. Jacksonville.
All right, so wait, what are you adding up right now?
What I do is I add up where you rank.
Right. Oh, gotcha.
So I'm adding up the rankings in red zone offense and defense, sacks offense and defense,
Sorry.
And all that stuff.
Yep, sorry.
So I'm adding up the rankings for a cumulative ranking.
Gosh, Jacksonville's going to be what?
Jacksonville
38?
has 20. Everyone else is in the 50s, 60s, and 70s. And in these statistics,
that's amazing.
Time of possession, red zone offense and defense, sacking the quarterback, and then not getting sacked, Jacksonville has a cumulative ranking of 20. And that includes turnover. I think turnovers, when I look at the rankings, when I do it all up, are a little bit fluky because you'll have like five tied for second and then the next one is seventh and throws it off. So when I took out takeaway rankings, they have 18 because it's not that much. When I added or subtracted turnovers, they come down to 3 because their turnover margin is 17. So I said, well, what happens if you add or subtract turnovers? They come down to 3 points total. Minnesota, the next would be 39.
Holy shit.
They are that much better in all of those categories than everybody else. Protecting the quarterback, sacking the quarterback, red zone offense, red zone defense, time of possession, and takeaways. I don't know. That's how I think you determine a game.
They're the best team in football.
They're the best team in football. But and it's not even fucking close.
But it's, you know, my issue.
If only there was an analyst out there willing to say that the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Oh, no, it's okay. It's okay, Fendrick, because Steve Young apparently
said. Did you tell him about this?
Yeah, Steve Young apparently said that Jacksonville has a team that could probably beat New England. He finally said that on Monday.
It's so annoying. I can't stand everybody.
Lefko had your back on Twitter.
Thanks.
He put it out. Mm.
But I just found it wildly interesting that they were that much better than everybody else. But the other teams that were good, no matter the met, when you add them all up, Jacksonville, Minnesota, New Orleans, Baltimore's up there.
Yeah.
The Chargers, because they can protect and get after the quarterback.
Right.
Philadelphia, New England, Carolina is sort of where
Doug
it comes
Marone.
Out.
With bringing the offensive approach of like the Parcells Belichickian away of managing a football game, managing your quarterback, you know, bootlegs, power run football,
right.
Blake Bortles, you know, don't take sats. Our defense is good. Let's play the field position game. All those little things is why Doug Marone should be in the conversation for Coach of the Year.
I think it should be Doug Marone, Sean McVay, Doug Peterson.
Yeah. Right.
I think Doug Peterson should be up there, too.
I do, too.
All right. Random Instagram number. You've already guessed 2 and 11.
Let's go with number 7.
Number 7. Alex Tremlin,
right.
His Instagram DM was talking about quarterbacks and systems and whether or not they're a system guy. And his question was, how many quarterbacks in the NFL could fit any system?
Oh, how many could fit any system? Okay.
Pull up teams. The names.
I'm pulling them up. Any quarterback in the NFL that can fit any system.
Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, Rodgers.
Russell Wilson.
Matt
Stafford.
Wentz. Oh, look at this.
Give me the wide shot.
The wheels on the bus go Chipotle, Chipotle, Chipotle. Thanks, Wheels.
That was great. Good job, Wheels. Yep.
I wanted to bring it in during the show.
Quarterbacks that could fit any system.
Sorry.
So Russell Wilson, Matt Stafford.
Yep. Deshaun Watson.
Carson Wentz.
Ooh. Carson Wentz.
Ooh.
You said Matt Stafford, right?
Yep.
We said Russell Wilson.
Jameis.
Tom Brady. Wow.
Well, because Brady's going to have issues with, like, systems like, let's say, San Francisco, who want to run a lot of bootlegs and stuff. Have you seen Tom Brady run a bootleg the last few years?
No.
Think about that. Yeah.
No, I just think about Tom Brady when he sees pressure and he's starting to...
He's amazing at all those. I'm just saying, like, for the teams that want to move the quarterback and do those things, that's where I think he misses. Again, people, everybody thinks...
Would you put Jimmy G in that list?
I would.
Quarterbacks that could fit any system?
Yes, I would. Now, and you know, to that point, just to defend Brady, some of those guys I've mentioned won't be as good in the New England system
right.
and working the pocket and making the decisions and the big throws within the pocket. So just before the militia of New England
yes.
gets after me there, that's the point I would like to make. Dak Prescott would fit it. You know, like, I don't think Big Ben fits every system anymore at this
Trubisky?
Point in his career. Trubisky would as well.
Andy Dalton?
Cam Newton would as well.
Now, Andy Dalton?
Yeah, he could do it. He could.
So you're thinking the athletic part and the ability to throw.
Yeah, it has to be both. It has
Kirk
to be a
Cousins.
Little bit of both. Right, you have to worry.
So your issue is the guys that are a little not as mobile right now because that's becoming a big part of the game.
Yes, not as mobile. You're going to take away some of the offenses that love to do, you know, all the bootleg stuff, which I just don't think that Brady or Roethlisberger, the reason you don't see them asked to do it is because they can't do it. It's not their strength.
Every week, Sim sends me his game notes. I try to figure out his
talk about game week. What notes last week? Did you know that?
No, we did.
Did we?
Yeah.
We just did it real quick, right?
I mixed them in.
Okay.
Patriots Steelers. Steelers didn't fall into the Patriots 21 or 12 personnel trap.
Oh, okay. That's a good question. That's a good one.
What does that mean?
It means that New England loves to get into big personnel. Two tight ends. One back, two tight ends is 12, right? Two backs, one tight end is 21. They love to get you into that personnel for you to go, okay, they might run the ball. Let's get big.
And then they go, hurry up.
And or they go play action. And they kill people with the famous pop pass, right? Play action. He comes up and he hits a post behind the linebackers, right? Pittsburgh basically said, nah, fuck you.
Prove to us you're going to run
it. Prove to us you're going to run it first, and then maybe we'll bring it in. So they kept in nickel and dime and just basically played the pass and said, go ahead, line up in that. So I just thought that was a brilliant thing.
Have other teams done that this year?
No, not really. But like New England.
What you were saying to your question there is I feel like all the time people are like, oh, they're pretending to run. We should respect that. Where I feel like Belichick's like, no. Prove to us. And it sounds like it's the first time that somebody went to Belichick. No, prove to us you can run.
Exactly right. I mean, I don't know why. New England doesn't really want to run it, right? We know that. I mean, they're going to run it if they got to, but they don't want to. They know they're going to be more surgical with the pass game and Brady. So don't fall for that. Like, the Saints are the same team. If I'm playing the Saints and they get in real big personnel, fuck, more times than not, I'm going to play defense. I'm going to play pass because they're going to try to, he's going to try to gash you with a play action pass and get 50 yards.
You wrote, no, Alan Branch is big,
yes.
And it came out today. He's expected to miss a few weeks. He's not getting surgery. How big is that they've lost Alan Branch for a few weeks?
Yeah, it's big because he started off slow in the year, but the last 5-6 weeks when he was playing, he was becoming the mosh pitter that we saw last year where you just can't move him.
He turned it on last year,
right,
too.
He did. And really the last few weeks he turned it on. When they came back from the bye and I did that, I was out in Denver for that game and then the Oakland game. I mean, when they were in Mexico City. Yeah, he was becoming that guy we saw last year.
So is big.
It is big. They just needed to get him back for divisional playoff. And
you did say Thuney is going to be a liability versus the NFC, the guard Joe Thuney. And I wrote down, well, what about Jacksonville?
You're exactly right. I mean, I didn't mean to disclude them.
This is what happened to the Texans last year. Patriots play the Texans. Jadeveon Clowney just put right in the middle and blew up the interior. And it sounds like that's still an issue for the Patriots.
Still an issue. Thuney's good in the run game, but he really struggles in pass pro. And it's really been an issue feet overpowering. He's just not a naturally really big man.
Yes.
So when you're not naturally really big at that position,
you have to let people run at you.
And you're bracing for the power, going, oh, God, I got to stop this big guy.
And then Malik Jackson
gives you a sidestep,
one...
and you go, oh, shit, I was ready for the power.
When Jacksonville beats New England, we need to get the clip of you saying it like 7 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Eagles-Giants. Kelce, things he has to do are special. Best center in space in the NFL. He was one of the guys that Chris Long came out and said, apparently the voters are trash cans because they didn't put Ryan Kelce in the Pro Bowl.
Jason Kelce. He's... simply put, I mean, just the big runs that occur more times than not for the Philadelphia Eagles are because of Kelce.
And then remember 2 years ago when they were saying he was done?
He was struggling a little bit. And I know he was banged up, too, right? That year, I think he was a little, but regardless.
It was also like Chip Kelly was like, hey, Ndamukong Suh's two gaps away.
Yeah, can you
get
over
to
there
his
and
outside
block?
Shoulder?
Yeah, exactly right. It was unrealistic things being asked.
You wrote this. You wrote two things about the Eagles
and Saints. Game, he's awesome, too, though, Kelce.
Oh, because he can fucking run. Right. Eagles and Saints were two teams that I crushed, and after reading your notes, you had one comment about the Eagles I thought encapsulized both.
Right.
Life in the NFL. You blow three coverages, ref misses a big penalty, and then all of a sudden it's a game.
Right.
They missed three plays. The ref didn't see a pick on the Sterling Shepard play, which apparently was blatant.
Right, blatant.
And so it should have been a bigger Eagles win.
You bite on two slant and goes. Malcolm Jenkins doesn't carry a guy in cover four up the seam on a big third down, and Eli throws a post. I can't remember who he hit to down the middle for like 25 yards on a big third down. You do that. The referees miss the pick play. All of a sudden, it's a fucking game. I don't care who you are. I mean, bring back the 78 Steelers. You make those mistakes, and you put them against the Browns, it's going to be a close game.
And you said the same thing with the Saints. You said the Jets are a tough matchup for the Saints because they have a very big front seven and two active safeties who are in charge of their little movements over the middle.
No doubt.
And I didn't realize Andrus Peat wasn't on the injury report, but he didn't play.
He didn't play.
And I didn't realize that until after the game.
I didn't either. And because I remember
he was used as like a just in case insurance policy.
I think he was. I think they did. Again, I'm going to say they did a New England move. He goes, what do I need to risk him for? I think we're the better team here. We should be able to win without him.
So maybe I was a little too hard on both of those teams.
Yeah, I mean, I understand that the game was a little, like, your Eagles game was frustrating, but your Eagles were, like, this close so many times,
just
blowing them out. And, they made a few mistakes early on. The Saints dominated that game. And the Coleman, like you
two
said
fumbles
it.
In the red zone.
They were huge.
They were huge. Yeah. And you wrote end of game pass interference has to go.
Gosh, was it that? What game was I writing? Which one was
that
it?
That one. It was a bad offense, and you have two corners, and it's not fair.
Oh no, was I writing about that? But the Steelers,
Saints, Jets.
Oh, the Saints Jets. I know. I'm trying to think about what play it was. I know I'm losing my mind here because I've watched too many things. But yeah, I'm just trying to think of what the hell the play was. Too many times, I might have to bring it up. I didn't write it. That's all I wrote, though? I didn't write any names or numbers there?
No, I don't remember. You did say that we can't forget that losing Okafor was a huge loss for the Saints.
Man, the Saints, we cannot. And then
the
fact
that they just lost AJ Klein.
And they didn't have Hendrickson in the game, too. What's Hendrickson's status? I don't even know as far as number 91
Last thing I'll end is you were writing about Cowboys Raiders, and you wrote, I swear Dez Bryant is faster with the ball in his hands than when he's just running without it.
Yes. I was encouraged by the Cowboys game.
That's why I'm telling you, I think that if they get into the playoffs, they could make a fucking run.
They can be dangerous. You know, their scheme creativity on both sides of the ball hinders them.
Right.
But
it's so simple.
Some of the moves they made in the secondary with Xavier Rhodes, the kid 35, and I'm blanking on his name off the top of my head.
Chidobe Awuzie?
Chidobe Awuzie at 30, number 33. They are really
Jordan Lewis?
They're starting to get Jordan Lewis is 27, but 35
the
is a safety.
Frazier.
Frazier, right. Kayvon Frazier. Good job. Good pull. They have made a difference in the team because now they're getting comfortable and they're fast as
and
hell.
Frazier
all of them.
Hits.
They do. They all throw their body around. So that, with their D-line, what's David Irving's status, you know?
Hasn't been playing lately.
I know. So,
yeah, you wrote, they're doing all this without David Irving.
Right. Which is a big deal. And man, if there was ever a game where I could sit down with everybody listening and go, let me just show you how big these holes are and that Ezekiel Elliott would have got 50 yards and Alfred Moore's got 10.
Dallas is going to finish 10-6 because I think the Eagles are going to mail it in week 17.
Yeah.
And they're going to go, maybe they get to the playoffs.
Yeah,
I'd rather see the Cowboys in the playoffs than the Falcons.
I would agree.
Falcons are the kings of between the 20s.
I would agree.
They don't punch it in.
But my point, to just real quick, I'm sorry, with the end of the game pass interference, because it also happened in the Raiders-Cowboys game, okay?
Yes.
The fourth down, that was a bullshit call.
It's a Crabtree.
That's a bullshit call, okay? Jordan Lewis played that ball perfectly. Crabtree initiated the contact and pushed him off. Jordan Lewis was turned around going to try to play the ball, but since he got pushed off originally by Crabtree, he kind of lost his balance, and they were both looking at the ball trying to play. I don't agree with it. Too much bad quarterback play being rewarded. Like,
was that pass interference on Julio that didn't get called in the end zone that one time? I thought he got tackled by two guys.
Yeah, I know the one you're talking about, but I haven't watched that film yet, so I can't tell you. But that happened in the Jets game, too, and I just can't think of the exact play that it was. That's what's driving me crazy.
I don't remember who it was either. Yeah. Random IG number. You've guessed 2, 11, and 7.
Let's go Troy Aikman. He's number 8.
Yes. King Ethan, this is perfect timing. Sim said Zeke is arguably the best player in the NFL. How would he do behind Seattle's offensive line?
Oh, I mean, it would be tough sledding. Yes. Now, the thing that would make it real scary, though, is him with Russell Wilson on the read option would make the offensive line look better. Like even Marshawn Lynch's last year in Seattle, the offensive line wasn't good, but because of Wilson and Marshawn, they kind of made it look a little bit better than what it really was. He would still be a 1,000-yard rusher, but he'd be like, you'd have a lot of games where you'd go, damn, he had 20 carries for 25 yards. Like,
you still think he'd be successful?
I still think he would be successful, yes.
MVP Sims' updated rankings.
Buddy, buddy, boo.
Currently tied for first place.
How are we doing this week? Are we doing this the whole season or just this week? I just want to know so I know what to expect.
Brady has 25 points. Wentz has 25 points. Russell Wilson has 9. Rodgers has 7, and Kareem Hunt and Alex Smith are tied for 5th.
Is Rodgers about to make a comeback here?
I don't know. Who do you have at number 3 for your MVP rankings?
He's got the defensive players up.
I'm going to go Le'Veon Bell.
Oh, Le'Veon Bell. Le'Veon Bell. This is the first time that Le'Veon Bell has been mentioned.
Welcome
to
the party, Le'Veon.
Number 3. Number 2.
Number 2. We're staying at running back. Todd Gurley.
Todd Gurley. Todd Gurley makes his first appearance into the MVP ranking.
Sims getting a little wild this week.
How about this? Before this, there
Wentz
was only
Wentz and Wilson
one.
Are out. They're out.
Wentz and Wilson will no longer be achieving votes.
No.
Who is number 1?
Thomas
Brady.
MK Brady. I don't even know if that's his middle name, but Thomas Brady.
So it looks like Tom Brady's going to run away with it. What do you think of this story?
It's
about
weird. That too.
Belichick,
the dietitian,
kicking out his special person.
You've Alex. Talked about this guy.
I have.
Yeah. What's his last name?
Something with a G.
Alex Gonzalez. No.
I was going to say Guerrero.
Standby.
But I know that apparently he was
Alex Guerrero.
Alex Guerrero. Apparently he was helping out other members of the team.
Yeah.
And now he's been blocked off. He can't go on certain flights. He can't go to away games. He's not allowed on the sideline anymore. One, is this going to be a little riff here? Two, what do you think he was doing?
There's no riff. One, because it's not going to be a riff because there's one fucking guy in charge up there. And his name is Bill Belichick.
But can we get Butthurt Brady?
I mean, Butthurt Brady's not going to matter because he's going to go, damn, this coach is really good and we're good when he's the coach.
What do you think all this
means?
So
I think what it all means is, first of all, I was always shocked that Alex got to be part of the organization to the
stand,
because it's just not in an NFL coaches, players, organization's DNA to bring outsiders in from one player to go, hey, yeah, you can be a part of this, even though
we wouldn't be vegan.
Right, yeah, right.
Are
exactly
his ideas
right.
that weird and different?
I don't think they're that weird and different. I think it's really probably about normal. Like I tell you that the NFL teams are 10 years
ice,
behind.
Ice, heat,
right,
stim.
Ice and stim. What's ice and stim?
But why kick him out now?
I don't know. This would be my two cents, and I have no inside knowledge of this. But I would think that there's something came about with somebody that was injured, and he gave them this recipe to do this, and maybe it set them back, or they didn't like something he was doing behind their back to rehab a guy, and that somehow became a war with the actual trainers of the Patriots, and they went to Bill and were like, Bill, he's doing this and this with this guy.
And Bill heard inefficiency,
right.
I will remove
he's
it.
He's just not going to deal with it.
Yeah, because my thing is, I feel like it's been a very, not just the whole NFL, but the Patriots have gotten a ton of injuries this year.
Yeah,
I mean, Dante Hightower and Edelman and everybody, there's been a lot of big names.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that they're still winning is a testament to Belichick.
Right.
I just didn't know why now, and it must be a setback
to somebody.
I would
think it's something like that. There's been an argument in how to handle a rehab of one of the top players, whoever it may be, maybe an Alan Branch. Who knows? I'm just saying. But yes, there was a difference in theories as far as how you approach it.
He would travel with the team and be around the organization?
Apparently.
Yeah, he would.
Do other players give a shit about that Brady gets to have basically his personal assistant? Or because it's Brady, it doesn't matter?
Yeah, Brady gets away with it. It's not nobody's going to get ruffled about Brady. I think just about every other guy in football, people would be ruffled with it, other than maybe Brady or Rodgers.
Let us do some celebration rankings.
Woo-hoo!
First up, iTunes comment. This is Danny Young, Niner Nation. Sup, guys? So, Sims, you always talk about how the best celebrations are the ones that players do over and over again and piss off other teams.
Right.
Tyreek Hill's peace sign celebration has to be the best for that reason. The guy's a baller and does it every week.
I do like it a lot, and I think I've said it at least a few times, right? But, yeah, I know. The only problem is they just don't get him in the end zone enough to where he can just constantly do it to piss everybody off. But, yes, I do like that. Somebody else was doing something this week, and I forgot to write it down.
Well, we do have a few here I have for you. Individual, still, Golden Tate's people's elbow, and the team is still the Steelers bench press. Let's start off.
There was some
individual.
Good ones this week, right?
There was some good ones.
Yeah.
I actually had to cut a few out that I didn't think. Like Mark Ingram swimming, I took it out. It just wasn't up to par.
He was swimming?
Garrett Celek pulls out the toy soldier. He scores Trent Taylor, winds him up, and he is a toy soldier marching around.
It's very nice.
Creative.
Very
Rob
holiday-ish.
Gronkowski.
Perfect this time of year.
Right.
I enjoyed this one because it made me laugh. Rob Gronkowski is going to score this touchdown over Sean Davis. Points at him, laughs, and then spikes the ball.
That,
for me, the emphasis, though, is the pointing and laughing at Sean Davis.
Well, you know, he kind of pulled it off by then turning quickly, but
he scores, points at him, laughs at him, and then laughs and then spikes.
I think anybody else in football would have got unsportsmanlike conduct with those actions.
Sean Davis from?
Maryland.
Yeah.
But he does that sometimes. I don't know what that is. It's not like a laugh. He's like a broken robot or what is he, British soldier? Yeah, I don't know.
And then Kyle Rudolph did the icky shuffle against Cincinnati.
Oh, yep.
Any of those, who wins the week of those three for individual? Gronk, laugh, and spike, Garrett Celek, toy soldier, Kyle Rudolph, icky shovel, three tight ends.
It's the toy soldier.
M&M
step by step. heart to heart, left, right, left, we all fall down now.
That was when I stopped listening to Eminem.
Like the Toy Soldier.
Better, Toy Soldier
or
People's Elbow?
That was a great 80s song, or early 90s. I'm going to go with the People's Elbow.
And the People's Elbow!
Man, we haven't had a change at the top of the leaderboard in a long time.
We might get one in front of the team. I thought the Flying V was going to get the Eagles there last week.
I know there's one that's possibly could overthrow this
first
week.
One for teams. Juju Smith-Schuster reenacts his hit on Vontaze Burfict and stands over Martavis Bryant.
I mean, what is the meaning there? Is he like, are they trolling Vontaze to be like, man, we're glad we did this to you?
Trolling. You know what trolling is?
Yeah, look at Sims dropping trolling off him.
Wow. Yeah.
Next one up, Matthew Stafford hits TJ Jones, and the Lions all get together, and they do a dance that was taught to them from Michael Key. What is his name? Key and Peele?
Oh, this
and they
is a
line
good
up
one.
And they do the Rockettes.
Yep. Got a chance. Got a chance,
got a
this
chance.
One.
The Lions are good. Tyreek Hill.
Holiday spirit. Right.
Tyreek Hill, I think this one has a chance. Tyreek Hill scores. He's a NASCAR. He pulls in. They do a pit crew. They get new tires and some gasoline. He rumbles, and he's out of the gates.
I couldn't figure out what they were doing when I was watching that.
That was elaborate.
That was.
That was a lot
elaborate.
Going on. He put his leg up, but two hours.
And then
was
watch his chest
bike?
Shake. Watch his chest
doing?
Shake. He's an engine. He's shaking his chest. The Eagles, they scored a touchdown, and they all got around the campfire. Trey Burton, Alshon Jeffrey, warming up the hands.
This is a good one. I did like
on
that. Who was that that slid in at the last second?
Let's see. It is.
It's so funny how guys.
I'm going to say it's Nelson Aguilar. And then the last one,
the last
Packers
one.
With a speed walking race.
Oh, I did see that too.
So the Packers, they go out there and they speed walk. So. Juju reenacts Vontaze hit. Lions Rockette, Tyreek Hill pit crew, Eagles campfire, Packers speedwalk.
Lions
wins?
Rockette wins.
Wow.
Yeah, it wins.
I thought the Tyreek Hill pit crew was fantastic.
It was a little too complicated.
Well, shit.
Hell, shit.
Lions Rockette or Steelers
bench
press.
I love that
press.
Kind of defense. Well, shit.
Lions Rockette or Steelers bench press.
Gosh, I really give the Lions a lot of credit.
But?
Well, because I want to just talk this out with you guys. I mean, these are grown men
and
who decided to do something that, you know, is famous from a few blocks from us with the Rockettes.
I would also say that I've also never seen anyone get the Rockettes right on the first try.
It was a good kick.
Usually
line.
Someone does a full kick when everyone else is doing a half kick.
Theo Riddick's, like, hip tightness was a little scary in that. He couldn't turn the one wedge. You notice that? I was scouting him. I was like, damn, his leg lift is not very
what
good.
What else
I'm
would I expect?
Does he have a problem?
Like, I'll walk in and Sims will be like, you hurt your foot? I'll be like, yeah, I guess I bumped it on the chair this morning. He's like, I could tell you're walking weird. All right, so who's winning? Steelers bench press or Lions Rockette? And Yeah, what are you going with? Steelers bench press?
Yeah, okay. Don't what? What are we going to say?
No, I'd be like, don't just give it to me different. I want your real answer.
Oh, yeah, I am. I know.
All right, before we get to the iTunes comments and we start wrapping up, if you guys could go onto YouTube, all of these episodes are going on there. Just type in Sims and Lefko. As of always, Twitter, Instagram, check us out at Sims and Lefko. We'll do one more Instagram number before we go to the IGs. Available, 1, 3, 4, 5, 6, 9, and 10.
Oh, let's go with the old Brett Favre.
Could Sims explain special teams a bit more? Game plans and tactics.
Okay.
This'll be
from
fun.
Jack.
That is a good one.
I like this.
No, it's such a part of the game that really we don't discuss nearly enough, and it's one of the reasons where we're seeing the Rams are where they are. But special teams, man, and to just get into it, you know, in the simplest fact of the matter, it's weird. This is a deep subject. So I guess what you would say is when teams grow down to special teams breakdowns, you go into more of like, okay, who's their special team star, right? Like the Patriots have Matt Slater, right?
Yeah.
And they're going to put him in all the positions just like a Antonio Brown at receiver to be successful because they know you're awesome at going down there and making one-on-one tackles. So we're going to make sure we have ways to get you free to run down the field.
So they create lanes for him to get down there, and then I guess they're
game
trying to predict.
Game plans are created it around certain guys and special teams, just like offense and defense, except they're just wearing random numbers and don't look as cool. And we go, we don't really give a shit about
you.
So
do you have to guess a lane and you have to guess which way they're going to go?
Everybody has lane integrity, right? And yes, the coaches will change the lane in which they're in at weeks. They'll, on a kickoff, let's say the gunner, the L2, right? The L2, which would be the second guy in from the sideline, right? Oh, he's the guy we got to worry about. Well, they'll start the kickoff, and all of a sudden you'll see him run behind the kicker and change his lane, right? And then their whole scheme was, well, we're going to block him over there and get him out of the play. Now what the fuck do we do? Whatever it may be. So a lot of that goes into it. A lot of it, again, I learned under Josh McDaniels and the New England Patriots, and of course Josh in Denver, but just the game planning, because they used to make us have to sit in this special teams meetings when I was with the Broncos. And I was like, damn, this sucks. Like, are you kidding me? I have to sit here and listen to punt team and all that. But so much goes into it. And there's so many walkthroughs, pre-practice, post-practice. You have special teams periods throughout practice, right? You might go 3 offensive periods in a row, 2 defensive periods, and then have a special teams period where the offense and quarterbacks might go on one side and work on play action fakes or whatever, but special teams goes on. I don't know if I'm breaking this down the right way, but I'm trying to give you guys a little.
I think what I want to do now is, when we're getting ready for the playoffs and there's not as many games going on,
go into that a little.
I'd like to identify who is the special teams ace for each team,
right?
So that when everyone that listens to the podcast or us are watching the game, I'm going to focus on them.
Yeah.
I want to see where they move. I want to see if they make the tackle. I know for the Eagles, it's this Kamu Grazier-Hill guy, and apparently had an amazing year. And I didn't realize they were setting up things for him to make those tackles.
Definitely.
I didn't know that.
He becomes the guy, and they make sure he can get down and make free tackles.
Some guys on the team only get in for special teams, so obviously they're fired up whenever they get to go out there.
Yes.
Other guys have to play in the rest of the game and also do special teams.
Right.
How are they splitting their time during the week, and how do they break down like what they care about the most?
Of course, they're going to always worry about their offense or defense responsibility the most, but what they'll do, they're still going to be heavily involved with special teams meetings. I mean, no free passes there or anything. They're still going to, the special teams coaches are usually neurotic, psycho, full of energy guys. So we're like, you got it, Josh, you remember what you're going to do at L4, right? When we call this call, you're going to do it, right? And you're walking by the hallway, you're eating a carrot. They're like, hey, you remember what you got to do? Pump block, what? So that's how those guys are. But nonetheless, they might not have to take every rep during the special teams portion of practice,
but all the meetings.
But they're going to be there right next to the guy who's taking the rep. They might go like, Bill Belichick might go, Kyle Van Noy, you don't need to go run down on punt team right now in practice.
Yep.
You just had 3 defensive periods, but stand next to the guy that is going to fill
so
in for you.
So you can see what
so
it
you
looks
could
like.
See it and do it, right.
Let's go to iTunes comments. First one up is Carl Muffin in the 7th. Muffin the 7th, best football talk there is. Hey team, I have to say your discussion of what the NFL really is unmatched. This bear versus lion talk is upsetting me. What kind of bear are we talking about? I think a lion would lose to a grizzly or polar bear, but probably beat the smaller ones.
I'm talking about any bear on planet fucking Earth, okay? That's what I'm talking about, just
You're
so you know.
You're thinking a lion versus a polar bear. The lion's winning.
The lion is only going to lose to one animal on the planet.
Here's the problem,
and
though. Where is this happening? Are we fighting in the polar bear's domain?
What animal?
Or are we coming down the Serengeti?
The tiger that's in the cold.
Oh, okay.
I mean, no one's going to beat him.
Siberian tiger.
They're the biggest
thing. That's what your son said your spirit animal was.
Yes, right. Well, he knows greatness when he sees it. But
so you think a Siberian tiger beats a polar bear?
Definitely. Them or a male lion? Yes. Yes. These are... A male lion can take down like 4,000-pound animals by himself. Like,
can you ask Levitard if we could borrow his Miami Zoo guy for this discussion?
Okay.
Yeah, like next time you go on.
Go ask him
What are
that.
You up to, 59?
58, I think.
Okay.
57, maybe. I think I did 58 today.
Matt Castle?
Yesterday was Matt Castle. Today was Ryan Mallett.
Ooh, good day.
Yes. Yeah, good day.
No
yeah.
joke, I think the most engaged with tweet of all time from the Sims and Lefko Twitter account was the lion versus bear
tweet.
Oh,
yeah.
People, is that right?
People responding left and right. I was like, no one responds like this to a football question. You put up a picture of a lion and a bear and ask who wins, everyone has an opinion.
Man,
love it.
You can't mess with that animal. Are you kidding me?
Asapasapalals, ASAP LOLs. Question for Sims. Great podcast. Every time I see a new podcast, I cry tears of joy. Sims thinks that Aaron Rodgers is the best quarterback of all time. I'm Team Brady. That's what he says.
Yep.
And Barry Sanders is the best running back of all time.
Yeah.
Who is Sims' number one wide receiver of all time? Is it JR?
It's hard to argue Jerry Rice.
but he doesn't fit your
Not like my kind of guy.
You're much more of a Randy Moss guy.
I am more. I mean, if I was playing quarterback and I had to pick one guy from their prime, it would be Randy Moss. Yes, it would be. It would be. I know. I don't mean any disrespect to Jerry Rice, but I'm just the kind of guy that would be like, oh, you're one-on-one with Randy? I'm going to drop back and throw this motherfucker 70 yards.
I forgot Randy Moss's first year with the Patriots. He was getting huge games in triple coverage. Like, I forgot how dominant that 2007 team was.
Oh, my God.
Just from, like, watching highlights and being like, there's four guys
if
around
you
him.
Heard stories of Rondé Barber and John Lynch when I first got to Tampa in those years, them talking about Randy Moss, which they were so happy that the divisions got split up and no longer had to play.
Like the Vikings and the Bucks got split.
Because the two guys that I heard about more than any in early years of my career were Barry Sanders, because they had to play them too.
Right.
And they were like, what the fuck? You know, John Lynch, I mean, he's on a lot of Barry Sanders
can't
highlights.
The Bucks were in the North.
Right? Isn't that weird? But the Randy Moss thing, I mean, I can remember Mike Tomlin, Barber, Lynch, everybody having
a few
comments.
He's the worst thing ever for a cover, too.
He's the worst thing for anything at that time. True. Because you would just be like, well, we got two guys on him. We'll be okay. What? He ran by our two guys? He jumped over our two guys? There's nothing you can do. There's nothing you can coach to stop it.
This one is from Zibs. Much fun. I love your podcast. It's a highlight of my day when I get to listen to Sims, Lefko, and especially Papa Sims lay down some knowledge. I was wondering what you guys think about the Steelers as of late and their standing amongst the higher competitors in the league. Mm-hmm. Do you believe those close wins against subpar teams hurt their standing, or is their ability to find ways to win, sometimes regardless of how bad the situation seems, show a type of grit that puts them above the rest?
I think it's the second part, that it gives a grit that puts them above the rest.
So we make fun of them for playing down to their opponent,
right,
but they still win.
They still win, yes. They're still a quality. And we all put too many of these teams on pedestals, and some teams we don't put on a pedestal. Like, New England can lose to Miami, and I know they're New England, but we could just go, oh, it was a bad night.
Right.
But then the New Orleans Saints can
barely beat the Jets
31-19, which is barely in your opinion, and we go, I'm done with the Saints. I don't trust them anymore.
It was just
I'm just giving you
my thing though would be this.
Yeah.
If the Steelers have won all these close games and they're used to situational football, how the fuck did they blow that at the end of the Patriots game?
Yeah.
Because that took all of that close grit win luck away from it.
No doubt. I
like,
mean,
what
there's
were they
no
doing?
Excuse there.
Apparently, Inside the NFL had mics on and it showed how unprepared the Steelers were.
Yeah.
And I really need to watch it.
Yeah.
I also saw a clip of Jimmy Garoppolo talking to the team,
right,
and my shirt just got lifted up because I was excited.
Wow, you had a boner in your shirt?
I had a garop. That's how high it went. shirt boner. Andrew Corbin, love these guys. Hey, was it, this is a random one, was it just me or was Bobby Hart constantly starting plays too early against the Eagles? I know he got called for once a false start, but I feel like there were multiple times he got away with moving
early. He did. He definitely did. There was a few times, Bobby Hart, 68, right tackle. Yes, he jumped the gun. He jumped the shark, they say these days, these hot young
steppers
up there.
By the way, did you notice on the punt where they jumped off sides, the center actually flicked his wrist and caused the guy to jump, the Eagles player?
I'll
show you. Someone tweeted it to me.
Was huge part of the game.
Of the game.
It really was.
But it just goes back to, you know, refereeing and all that stuff.
The human element.
It's there.
What was the original question?
The Bobby Hart false starts.
Yeah. That doesn't get called enough. Offensive pass interference doesn't get called enough. And the
does against Mike Evans.
And defensive guys who time the snap out perfectly
get penalized because it looks too good.
It looks too good. That drives me crazy.
This one didn't make any sense to me. And he also commented on YouTube. Los Angeles Rob, get your hands out of Wentz's pants, Lefko.
Wow.
He's done. Elway, Montana, Young, Roethlisberger, Newton, Vic, none of those guys tore their ACLs. Carson Wentz is totally done. His arrogance got him. He's going to be a shell of himself. He's a narcissist who thinks God favors him. Boy, is he in for a surprise, as are you. Goff is going to have more Super Bowls. Sorry. P.S. How are you on this podcast? Didn't you get arrested for gambling on Esiason's show? Am I Carton? But I just thought the comment was so good because it was.
But he gave us 5 stars. I guess.
5 stars.
Appreciate that.
Tom Brady tore his ACL.
Yes, that's right.
No, but I thought it was a very well written comment, and apparently I'm Carton.
You're Carton.
All right, Carton.
Good for you. Way to go, Carton.
Man, you hear Carton's trying to get on a Barstool?
Well, he's on a podcast. I know that.
He's doing his own podcast.
Yeah, we talked about it last week.
Are you going to be on it?
He didn't ask me, which I was actually offended by. I was like, what the fuck? Fuck you.
Yeah,
he's like, yeah, Scaramucci's going to be my first guest. And I was like, I was actually sitting there going like, is he going to ask me to be it? Yeah. And he never even asked.
You'll only do it if I get to come on too.
Okay, fine.
I want redemption.
Yeah, yeah, you deserve it.
You know, it's funny. I'm still here after that time, Carton. And apparently my career is doing it. I'm just kidding.
So Barstool, that's what they're talking about?
I don't know.
There was an article in the Sporting News about it.
Last iTunes comment. Parker288, Trillist White Boy Supremes. You guys keep it real, which makes y'all White Boy Supremes of podcasts. Who would win a White Boy Supreme Royal Rumble? Gronk, Bosa, or JJ? Not TJ.
Oh, shit. I know.
Gronk. He wrote that. Gronk, Bosa, or J.J. Watt.
Damn, that is a good one.
Don't think about. I want to think of mine. Fendrick, you better think of your. Fendrick,
answer already.
Okay, give yours.
I would go Bosa.
That was where my head went too, but I'm going to go with Gronk. I think that Bosa and Gronk, I would definitely take both of them to gang up on JJ, and I also think JJ is a self-aware, whereas I think Gronk and Bosa have the right amount of kind of dumb jock in them, but I think
Sims is
at this
deep
age,
in thought.
Actually, I'm going to switch to Bosa. I think Bosa's younger and fresher.
I think it's between Bosa and JJ.
Why not Gronk?
Gronk, I think if you saw them all in person and they were next to each other, Gronk, of course, is a giant human being, but he's a little taller and longer than you think. He's not quite
Watt
as...
Watt and Bosa are thicker.
They got a little more thickness
thick
to them.
AF.
I mean, Gronkowski is still such a giant man.
He looks bigger than everybody on a football field.
He is so big. I mean, he's 6'7".
Yeah.
You know, he's what, 265, 270.
Bosa's what?
Long arms, 6'4", 6'5"-ish.
He 280.
Was like yeah, right. I thought he was like 275.
So who's your final pick?
I think I'd go with J.J. Watt still. I don't know. The only thing that's curling me off is the Bosa youngness. You're right about that.
He's got that youth.
He's fresh. He's a young whippersnapper.
I don't know. With JJ, with his back issues, might not be able to get low and dump people. So you're right. I'm going to go Bosa.
I think Bosa's the
guy. Bosa's the guy.
I want to just end with this. So the Browns fans have been talking for a long time. They were doing this last year, too. If they go 0-16,
I heard about this.
They want to have a parade.
The guy had a permit.
And they actually have a permit, and if it happens, it's going to be sponsored by Excedrin. And they were interviewing all the players this week, and they were all saying, look, we don't want it. We're not offended. You guys can do whatever you want. What the fuck is that like to play for a bunch of fans that are rooting for you to kind of go 0-16 to have an ineptitude parade?
Well, it actually, as a player, is going to
I think the Browns are going to be motivated.
It's going to piss
you
off and motivate you. It will. It really will. But they're going to be motivated.
And they play the Bears this week.
It's there to be had.
This is it.
It is. Who's their last week? Pittsburgh, the last game of the year? Yeah, this is it, probably.
Unless Steelers are resting people.
Well, I know, but the only thing is they got Jacksonville, so they can't rest unless
Jacksonville loses to San Francisco.
Right.
But what is that like as a player? Can you imagine?
Yeah, no, it's that's extremely frustrating. I mean, I also want to just be like, well, who's going to come to this parade? And who's actually going to march in? Who's going to march in it? The fans?
So many Browns
What a
fans.
Great parade. I get to see the Browns fans walking by. Oh, hey, you're the fan of that 0-16 team? Whoa! Let me throw some candy at you. You're amazing.
I think it's like a protest in a way.
Yeah, I get you.
But the only other thing I had was a question. Duke Johnson came out today and said that DeShone Kizer's confidence is shot. Mm-hmm. DeShone Kizer is 21 years old. Mm-hmm. He's made 12 starts in the NFL in his NFL career. Hugh Jackson came out last week and said that it's a fair question to wonder if DeShone Kizer will ever get it.
I saw it.
And he said that publicly in a press conference.
Yeah.
We talked about Hugh Jackson for a long time.
The fact that he said fair question means he's legitimately not sure himself. But go ahead.
Of course.
Yeah.
I think it's kind of unfair that this 21-year-old.
Yeah.
Now, I do wonder why he's now had his college coach question him and his NFL coach question him.
Yeah.
But I also go from a mentor, like a groomer of young quarterbacks, which is what everyone said Hugh Jackson was. I mean, you're kind of screwing this kid's career by saying this shit.
By saying it, unless he knows him so well to where he goes, maybe he needs to hear me say this publicly.
He's trying to push a button.
Because he's not doing something that he should be doing on a weekly basis that he's noticed. That would be my only two cents to defend that. I don't think it was still the proper thing.
just think it's messed up.
It is messed up.
And I just also think it's crazy that this coach, who's like 1-29, we're giving him opportunities everywhere else. That to me, it blows my mind.
I don't know if that's real. I think that's like a media fixation. I haven't heard any credibility to that story at all. I mean, Cincinnati's not going to hire a coach that went 1-31. Oh, hey, Bands, buy your season tickets. Hugh Jackson's here, the 1-31 coach who's been awesome.
He coached a really good offense when we had A.J. Green and Marvin Jones, and all three running backs were healthy, and Rex Burkhead was back there, and the offensive line had Andrew Whitworth.
Yes.
We always give coaches the credit for offense. Instead, we go, hey, Marvin Lewis drafted a lot of fucking good players. Yeah. Tyler Eifert, they were really talented.
Yes. Right.
And everybody was healthy.
Right.
But we still are like, yeah, but that 1 year with Hugh.
The Kizer thing, like, it annoys me. You know, I don't know the full story about what went on in Notre Dame, but the more I know, the more it sounds like, you know, he was almost semi-pushed out the door there.
Right.
Okay? Like, he wasn't going to be guaranteed to be the starter this year in this past football season. So I think that led to his decision of going, okay, I'm going to come out. Then he probably heard people like Mel Kiper and whoever. You know, I mean, let's not forget Mel Kiper had him the number one rated quarterback with McShay until, like, 2 days before the draft, and then they changed because
that's what goes down in history.
They saw a film the day before the draft and said, oh my gosh, I've been wrong this whole time. They're not the number one quarterback.
I put on that one game against Alcorn State.
Oh my gosh, and now he's number five.
I can't wait for new listeners to the podcast to hear us around draft time.
That'd be so bad.
Because we just shit on all of the prognosticators.
Gosh, but
because
also,
they're so stubborn.
Yes, they are.
They can't adjust.
I think like the Browns got to be part of the blame. Just like I always say with like Blake Bortles being picked at number three, it's not all on Blake Bortles. It's the team that evaluated him. You misevaluated, you know, Blake Bortles by 50 picks, and you misevaluated by DeShone Kizer by probably a good 30 picks, whatever it may be. So
let's also end this with giving props to Blake Bortles for playing well.
Yes, he's played extremely well.
He's played well.
I'm not sitting. I know what I've said. I said he was the 70th best quarterback. I meant it when I said it. I still mean it. I'm not going to come off that ranking quite yet after, you know, displays against the Texans and the Colts.
And the Seahawks.
And the Seahawks, which were undermanned. But if he can play like this, going back to early in the conversation, where he can hit the, okay, this is the open receiver in the NFL, and he can do that somewhat consistently, they are going to win the Super Bowl. They're going to win.
You heard the rankings earlier.
Yeah.
They are an unbelievable team.
Yes.
Unbelievable.
It's the greatest defense I have ever seen in my life.
I want to apologize, too, to David Caldwell, because if you think about it,
yeah,
he missed on Bortles.
Right.
But every other guy, him and Rick Spielman, I mean, they've been killing the draft.
They killed it.
All these guys on the Jaguars, it's all coming
to
fruition.
Now, he should have killed it, though. I mean, it was top five pick after top five pick after top five pick. So, again, not taking credit away from him. But he also did get guys like Calais Campbell and Malik Jackson into town and did things like that. AJ Bouye.
So I give him
credit
from there.
Yes, I give him credit.
Gibson, I mean.
Also, I do think what helped, but I don't want to give him total credit for those guys either, because I think that's Tom Coughlin's influence either. Tom Coughlin's the kind of guy that looked at the film of Jacksonville last year and was like, man, our biggest guy on the D-line, 278,
Sheldon
283,
Day is not the answer.
So he changed it and got Cam Robinson at left tackle to become a sledgehammer, and Calais Campbell and Aubrey Jones in the middle and things like that. Right.
It is interesting.
It is.
All right. That's it. Episode 145. That one was jam-frickin'-packed.
That was a lot.
We are getting ready for the Super Bowl, episode 152 at Super Bowl 52. Now that I know that we got Phil Sims locked in.
I mean, if he's there, he's definitely coming, so don't worry about
that.
Right.
I'm excited to break it down. Guys, we are doing our pick show for week 16, so be on the lookout for that as well.
I
head to YouTube, check it out.
Fuckoed.
You are not in good shape.
No. How much money did you lose last week, you think?
I think I lost like $200-$300, maybe something like that. The Atlanta one fucked me.
Good.
Four Sims.
Peace out, homies.
Good evening, everybody.
Good night, everyone.
And the LEFKOE
man
says good night. We'll holler at you guys later. Thanks for subscribing. Share.
Gabe said good night too.
Gabe says good night. Talk to you soon.